And now Chris Johnstone stays with us for our main feature for this day. That is, of course, Talking Point, in which he looks at 5 years of Czech membership in the European Union.
Ale já předpokládám, že tudy ta debata by neměla směřovat, to tady dnes neřešíme. Dnes řešíme, zdali povolit tedy přijetí.
That was an extract from a simulated summit of EU leaders by students at Prague's University of Economics during a European day at the prestigious institution last week. It was one of the few events which marked the 5th anniversary of the Czech Republic's EU entry, along with 9 other countries, mostly from Central and Eastern Europe, on May 1, 2004. The debate's good-natured banter, the fact that half of the participants were female, and the Czech working language were some of the clearest giveaways that this was not the real thing. Apart from the students' participants themselves, the public debate attracted only a handful of onlookers. In all honesty, the anniversary has not been greeted with celebrations or treated as an historic landmark. EU affairs are still clouded by the fall of the Czech government in the middle of its EU presidency and the lurking question of whether the country will ratify the EU's reforming Lisbon Treaty. But half a decade on, the man who can take much of the credit or blame for negotiating the Czech Republic's EU entry, the country's first commissioner in Brussels, Pavel Telička, sees some cause for satisfaction.
The 5 years have been dominantly successful, which does not mean that everyone has to see it exactly the same way. Does not mean that there were not deficiencies, discrepancies, difficulties, problems, mistakes. It does also mean that everyone in the country might have experienced only positive implications.
For Mr. Telička, now a consultant in Brussels, the new EU kit on the block in 2004 has made progress and can feel itself to be a full member, even though the talk of old and new members, old and new Europe, persists.
I would say that the Czech Republic is now fully integrated, is clearly benefiting, has managed probably also or mainly thanks to the current Czech presidency to make a few footprints and really get involved into shaping of some policy.
But he feels that success has come in spite of Czech politicians' ambivalent, sometimes hostile, attitudes towards the EU, which has meant that the country has not made the most of membership and exploited all the chances it has had to exert its influence.
If you perceive the relationship with the EU in a lukewarm, rather, I would say, negative and sometimes even somewhat antagonistic terms, you do influence your position inside the EU. It does not mean that you are to be happy with every single decision that is being taken. It does not mean that you are to be enthusiastic about some aspects of certain policies. But you need to be integrated, you need to be somewhere in the mainstream to have sufficient influence.
Such was the tone of some of the comments coming out of Prague in the past that Mr. Telička says he has been on the receiving end of phone calls asking him whether the Czech Republic was really happy with its EU membership or would be happier out of it. The criticism of the Czech political elite and its handling of EU matters is echoed by the director of the Prague-based Institute of International Relations, Petr Drulák.
As far as the failures are concerned, I think the Czech European elite has not become aware of the importance of the European Union. And the failure of the Czech presidency is actually a sad example of that, because actually the presidency was quite well prepared and the start was not bad. And then, you know, due to the internal political bickering, the whole project actually failed. So this is, I think, a very bad certificate for Czech Republic. And this lack of political responsibility, lack of the European reflex, is a very, I think, it's one of the big failures.
For many of its early years of membership, the Czech Republic was a laggard at putting EU legislation into effect, a record which it has only recently put behind it. But Brussels is still waiting for action from Prague on some dossiers, as Mr. Drulák explains.
And famous example is the Czech law on the civil service, because that was something which was promised to the European Commission before the accession, then it was put off for years, and today it's still not in the offing.
Mr. Drulak believes the half-hearted way that some of the new members enacted EU law argues for a much tougher system if and when another enlargement comes around. On another front, the Czech Republic, unlike neighbour Slovakia, has still not joined the Eurozone or even given a clear indication when that could happen, with a debate still raging in the country whether such a step is right or wrong. On the other hand, the Czechs and other new EU members from Central and Eastern Europe can still point to the refusal of some of the older members, such as Germany and Austria, to fully open up their labour markets. On the positive side, Mr. Drulak says the Czech Republic's success in joining the border-free Schengen zone at the end of 2007 was a milestone event.
I think it's quite important that we managed actually to finish the accession process in terms of getting to the Schengen zone, which was quite important because it was actually about convincing the rest of the European Union that our administrative systems are sound enough and that they can be trusted.
Pavel Telichka credits the EU presidency more than the entry anniversary with putting Czech EU membership into perspective and pushing it forward. Even though the presidency effectively ran its course with the collapse of the coalition government in late March, he believes it was fundamental in converting some in the sometimes Eurosceptic centre-right-wing civic democrats.
I think that the presidency in this respect was a relatively positive turning point. Imagine the outgoing prime minister saying something like he said 3 months ago in Ostrava, that the energy security without common energy policy is an absolute nonsense. I cannot imagine Mirek Topolánek saying that a year and a half ago.
Petr Drulák also sees the presidency as a turning point, but he is sceptical about the longevity of lessons that might have been learnt during the presidency by one set of politicians who might soon be succeeded by another. He says the Czech presidency's surprise termination, with a whimper rather than a bang, will cause deep soul-searching. This should, he believes, be more meaningful than the conversions that took place before and during its existence.
I think now we are on the bottom, you know. We cannot fall much farther than that, you know, because the Czech political elite confirmed many prejudices which were around the EU presidency, and I still believe that these prejudices are really unfair, you know, to Czech Republic. So what we can do, I think from now on we can only improve, because I would expect that this failure will be a major incentive for a reflection, for a thorough reflection of the Czech politics and of our attitudes towards the European Union and our attitudes towards the rest of the world.
Whether and what form that soul-searching takes should determine if the Czech Republic can bury the doubts that have so frequently accompanied its EU membership so far.